20, verse 12. Let's read this verse. Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So far with the scripture reading. And after the sermon, we'll respond with singing hymn 11, stanzas 1, 6, and 9. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that the Ten Commandments given to us by God are divided into two parts, before and after. The first four commandments make up the first part, and the last six forms the second part. The first part is the vertical and central theme of this part is our relationship with God and our responsibility to Him. In these commandments, God commands us not to worship any other false God. We are not to make an idols for worship, nor to worship any made things as a God. Nor are we to abuse the name of God, but to remember and keep the Sabbath, on which day we must cease from all unnecessary works to worship Him. The Lord Jesus Christ summarizes these first four commandments as, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then said, this is the great and the first commandments. The second part of the Decalogue is horizontal, because the last six commandments deals with the issue of our relationship with others. The Lord Jesus summarizes the second part, the last six commandments, as love your neighbor as yourself. This fifth commandment is the transition from the first part to the second part. If the foundation of the first part is the first commandment, then the foundation of the second part is the fifth commandment. Therefore, the fifth commandment is the first commandment of the last six commandments. This arrangement of God reminds us that unless we get along well with God, we cannot get along with other people. This is not always the reason. Because sometimes other people can be challenging to get along with themselves. But in many cases, people are too easy offended and find it hard to forgive others because they are not in the right relationship with God. The family is the basic unit structure of a civilized human society. God ordained the family before He ordained the government or the church. Civilizations rises and falls as the family rises and falls. A local church rises and falls with the family. And as big as the family is, so is the nation. Without a godly family, there is no godly congregation. Without a godly congregation, there is no godly society, a God-fearing nation. Therefore, Satan, the devil, is constantly attacking our families spiritually. It is why we say that the fifth commandment is the starting point for how we love our neighbor as ourselves, and is the basis for the remaining six commandments. And what neighbor can be as close to us as our own family? How we honor our parents in our family unit affects how we treat other people in our lives. How you relate to the people in your family, especially your parents' relationship with your children, will affect all of your relationships. You recognize that your relationship with God from your relationship with your parents. And your children know God through their relationship with you. As our children obey and honor their parents, they learn to obey and honor the God behind their parents. When children disobey and dishonor their parents, they learn to disobey and dishonor the God behind their parents. The fifth commandment is more complicated than you might think. For its requirements to not only honor, submit to parents includes obedience to all authorities. In fact, this commandment covers a wide range of relationships, begins with the God who gave it and continuing through to the social order where others are placed above us. Like the other commandments, this commandment is difficult for us to keep because of our natural sense of resistance to authority. It begins with man's resistance to God because man does not like to retain God in their knowledge. Then the rejection of God permeates into a reluctant obedience to all authorities. For this reason, if we fail at the first commandment, then all its subsequent commandments have been less hope of being obeyed. The principles of the fifth commandment are found in almost all cultures, ancient and modern. It is a universal accepted principle that children should honor and obey their parents. Although children are a gift from God, our Heavenly Father, earthly parents gave life to their children. Therefore, children owe everything to their parents. It's naturally recognized. It's built into the fabric of life. In ancient Greece, in the East, wherever you go, children are to be respectful and obedient to their parents. The principle behind this commandment is an honor. Unfortunately, this seems to be a lost virtue in our country today. So more than ever, we need the fifth commandment to preserve and strengthen the godly life of our covenant families. So this afternoon, let's study it well. Think about this commandment and struggle to keep this and all the other nine commandments in the days to come. So I preach to you this afternoon under this theme, honor your father and your mother. Under this theme, there are 3 points we shall share. At the first point, what is an honor to parents? A second place, how to honor your parents. A last point, the promises of this commandment. Now the first point, what is an honor to parents? It's evident that this commandment requires us to honor your father and your mother. The question is, what is honor? The word is an honor in the English Bible, The original Hebrew word, kivod, it means heavy and weighty in Hebrew. To honor someone then is to give weight and give respect, even authority, to someone in a position of power in one's life. In light of Exodus chapter 20 verse 12, it means high regard, care, respect, and obedience. When the word is applied to the Lord, it is also often translated as glorify. To glorify the Lord means to give the uttermost importance or significance to who He is and what He has done. It means placing Him in the highest position because He is worthy of that position. The opposite of glorifying God is to despise Him and treat Him and His commandments as insignificant. Combined with the concept of weight is the idea of value, which is the fundamental meaning of the Greek word for the honor. Applying to all parents, to honor them is to respect them, which stems from the fact that we value them significantly and are grateful for their contributions to our life. To honor our parents is to give them a high status of value. To honor our parents is to submit to them because they have God-given authority. This attitude of respect, high esteem and obedience will lead to loving action towards them. The motive for doing so should be pleasing and glorifying the Lord, who set the examples of obedience to His earthly parents to please His Heavenly Father. John Calvin summarizes this commandment by saying that honoring one's parents means respecting, obeying, and appreciating them. In the Old Testament, God took this commandment so seriously that He not only reminded the covenant people twice in Exodus chapter 20 and also in Deuteronomy chapter 5, that they were to honor their parents, but also emphasizes it again to Moses in Leviticus chapter 19, saying, "Tell all the congregations of Israel, saying to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbath. I'm the Lord your God." In addition, the Old Testament law taught children not to kill their parents and curse their parents, steal from their parents, or treat their parents with their contempt. Those who do not honor their parents are severely punished and are subject to death penalty. The fifth commandment is definitely one of the commandments taught and emphasized again in the New Testament. And Jesus taught us to keep this commandment. Paul spoke of the importance of this commandment. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 19, "Honor your father and your mother, love your neighbor as yourself." And Paul in Ephesians says, "Honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." And in Colossians chapter 3 verse 20, Apostle Paul said there something similar. "Children should obey your parents in everything because this pleases the Lord." We must pay sufficient attention and respect to our parents, for they are our parents. There's no other reason. It is because they are our parents that we must honor them, and also because they have this God-given position in our lives. Notice also three things that are not commanded by this commandment. First, this commandment does not command that when your parents do right, you are to honor them. Our parents, like ourselves, are weak and may make mistakes. If their mistakes absolved children from honoring them with respect, there will be no honor in the world. Second, we should let our honor for our parents reach all reasonable, permissible levels. It would mean that our honor would yield inconvenience and loss, set aside our respective judgments of what is better, and even subordinate ourselves highly, intelligently to the prejudice of our parents. Third, we should be obedient and place our self-sacrifice on the altar of filial piety to our parents. As long as our obedience to their opinions and expressed desires do not harm any third party. Secondly, this commandment does not command honor your father and your mother only while you are still young. Many people behave as if they had no parents when they are adults. This commandment does not give any age limit, but the scripture confirms that this is what God expects of his people throughout their lives. In Matthew chapter 15, from verse 1 to 6, the scripture says, some Pharisees and scribes came from Jerusalem and questioned Jesus. Why do you disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. And Jesus answered, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother. And whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you see, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. And Jesus, applying this commandment to honor your father and your mother to these Pharisees and scribes because they did not care for their parents financially. Therefore, the command to honor one's parents is not invalidated by age. Parents should be honored by their children throughout their lives because children were the ancient social security and care system. The care of our parents should have been given throughout our lives because it is one of the ways we honor them. Third, this commandment also does not say that we must be absolutely, absolutely obedient to our parents in all circumstances. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, we see a principle that has to do with authority, but also with parents, church leaders, and any other authority that overrides us. If the choice is between obeying God or obeying man, we are to obey God. Of course, you cannot and should not follow your parents if they ask you to do something that God forbids or forbid something that God commands us to do. But even in those cases, you still have the means to respect and honor your parents. Even if what they ask of you is something they have no authority to ask. Although as an adult we still need to honor our parents, parents should not expect our grown children to be as obedient as they were when they were children. in Genesis, we see a divine design that Jesus later reiterates in Matthew chapter 19. Man shall leave his father and mother and join his wife, and he and his wife become one flesh. Even in the ancient world, where people often literally lived under the same roof, and almost certainly in very close proximity to one another, there was still leaving and separation. A new unit was still in the process of being formed. With this new thing comes the severance of some old obligations. Parental authority is not absolute, but that is no excuse for lack of honoring our parents. We must recognize that almost everything in our culture has weakened this honor. We do not have a culture in Canada where we become old that we are most wise and worthy of honoring. What we do have is, when you get old, you should take a back seat. You become an old horse. There is another point that we must be aware of. According to Ephesians chapter 6, although the fifth commandment is not explicitly stated, Paul reveals for us one of the things implied in this commandment. That is, we are to honor our parents and all those who are in authority over us. It is also what our catechism, Heidelberg Catechism, question answer 104 teaches us. I should show all honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and to all those in authority above me, submit ourselves with due obedience to their good instruction and discipline, and also have patience with their weaknesses and shortcomings, since it's God's will to govern us by their hand. Now this leads us to the second point, how to honor our parents. Now what is the honor of God? It tells us to give to our parents. Let's briefly consider six practical ways, although we can certainly come up with more suggestions. By showing respect to our parents in these ways, we teach our children how to honor us in the future. First, perhaps the most important way we can honor our parents is by forgiving them. Most of us have some complaints about our parents. The truth is that they are no perfect parents. All parents fall far short of their children's expectations, and quite possibly even their own. Our parents have sinned against us, have made unwise decisions, have had unrealistic expectations of us, and they may have said and done something that have hurt us deeply. For this reason, many children enter adulthood gripped by anger and resentment and unable to forgive their parents. The Heidelberg Catechism says that we should patiently endure their weaknesses and shortcomings. It is not for the perfect families with perfect parents and perfect children. It is for all of us. It is for those of us who have parents and who sometimes drive us crazy or whose shortcomings are very obvious to us. God says that we are to honor the imperfect parents who may have hurt us. It is not easy, but that is about what this commandment is precise. Since Jesus was willing to forgive those who hurt him, that includes you and me. So who are we to refuse to forgive our parents. The second way to honor your parents is to give them respect in private and in public. Your parents need to see themselves in you. Parents are eagerly to see how they positively influence their children and reflect their strengths and values. So it is crucial to give the parents as much credit as possible. You may not realize that it is crucial to see to mom and dad that what you've really learned about how to face hardships and how to behave. I learned from them. You have to tell mom and dad, that is something that you have always taught me, and I really appreciate it. These are effortless ways, but they can bring great joy and honor to your parents. We can give this filial tribute privately in one-on-one conversations, or we can do so publicly, such as in speech at a birthday party. Be sure to let them hear the message. My dear dad, I don't know if you ever told me how much I appreciate your encouragement when I was struggling in high school. My dear mom, you may not realize it, but I know you pray for me every day. I want to say thank you. Third, support them. We can also honor our parents by supporting them. I'm not talking about financial support yet, but other forms of love and care. David cried to God, asking God not to cast him off in the time of his old age, forsaking him not when he was old. David feared old age and loneliness. The same is true of our aging parents. We honor our parents by assuring them that we will not abandon them in their old age. When we were young, our parents gave their hearts and souls to care for us and raise us, but there is an exchange here, a passing of baton, because as our parents aging, they become frail and begin to lose their independence. Therefore, we honor our parents by assuring them that we will not abandon them in their old age, just as they make care of us. So we are to take care of them. It is our responsibility and should be our joy. It is shameful when a person does not do what he can for their parents in their time of need. When millions of seniors are living alone in nursing homes and hospitals, being cared for by professionals rather than family members, we have the opportunities to demonstrate special honor. Even when parents have no financial need, we still have an obligation to provide hands-on, compassionate care. Nurses can be hired, but there must be more than one person. Care cannot be done by proxy. Emotional neglect, abandonment are undesirable. For such behavior is worse than unbelief in God. Fourth, provide for them. Finally, we can honor our parents by providing for them financially. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul gives two essential principles on how to help the widows in the church. The one is that children and grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. The other is that anyone who does not provide for their relatives, especially their family, has denied the faith. Such a person is worse than an unbeliever. These principles can also be extended to children and their aging parents. God expects our father and mother to provide for their children. However, when they are old and infirm, it is a time of reversal of roles and responsibilities. Raising children requires a great sacrifice, and it is only natural that children make a sacrifice for their parents in return. Fifth, it's essential to communicate frequently to say hello. Often, some of the deepest needs of our aging parents are not so much materials. Maybe some of us should pick up the phone this evening, call your parents, and send a picture. And try in texting. And give them a phone call and say, we haven't spoke in a few weeks. How are you, Dad, Mom? That's a start. Just keep in talking. Keep saying hello. Some people should take some time off from their pursuit and visit their parents in no manner or at home. Make sure you visit during the holidays. There's probably nothing that would make mom and dad more especially happy than to see all of his children and grandchildren in one place. When you say hello, it means the world to your parents. For some of us, it can be the beginning. You need to know that your parents won't always be there for you. But if you do what's best for them, when you have the chance, you can feel peace in your heart about it. In addition to the six ways we honor our parents by the examples above, we also need to strengthen our effort to raise honoring children. The parents are the first and most important representatives of God in the authority structure of life. If your children do not honor and obey you, why would they honor the laws of the land? Why would they honor and obey their teachers? Why should they honor and obey God? Suppose your children as a toddler, preschooler, elementary school age child, pre-teens or teenagers, does not honor and obey you now. In that case, your children will not do well spiritually because they will not honor any authority in their lives. Therefore, you must teach, expect, and demand honor and obedience from your children, because it will not come later on its own. It is why the scripture are full of instructions on training children and how to teach them. Children who do not honor their father and their mother are an abomination to the Lord. This leads to the last point, the promises of this commandment. God says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now let's look at the second part of this commandment, the promise that God gives us. It is a beautiful promise, but to understand it rightly, it must be considered in the context of other scriptures passages. When viewed in light of overall teaching of the Bible, this promise has both general and personal applications. First, it is a general promise that affects you and the society in which you live. God's promise of your days may be long in the land that the Lord God is giving you speaks volumes to the Israelites who had just come out of Egypt. At that moment, they had no land of their own, only the land that God had given them. How long they can stay in this land will be influenced by the obedience and filial piety in their homes. The ways of receiving God's blessing is the way of obedience. This is what the Israelites needed to understand as they prepared to go to the promised land, Canaan. The same is true for us as we prepare to go into the new heaven and new earth, new Jerusalem. It is the best thing in the Proverbs as our wise father offers advice to his son in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of the days and years of life and peace they will add to you. This passage illustrates what is the entire Proverbs, namely that listening to and applying the wisdom of your parents will have an impact on the length and quality of your life. Walking in the path of deceivers or idolaters or thieves or cooperating with the foolish people will lead to a broken life and often death. But on the other hand, the path of wisdom is already the path of righteousness and affects all aspects of your life. Secondly, there is not an absolute guaranteed promise that you will live to be 90, 50, 90, or 100 years old. Not everyone who honors his parents will necessarily live up to old age. This promise has to do with the abundant life and quality of life God gave you during your lifetime. If you want to enjoy the blessings God has prepared for you in the promised land, you must honor your parents. As Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And he further points out in Ephesians chapter 6 that they should do that so that it may go well with them and that they may live long in the land. If you honor your parents, God will give you a better quality of life filled with joy and blessings. If you refuse to honor your father and your mother, you will not receive a better quality of life. The result of honoring your parents is to develop habits of diligence, self-control, self-respect, faithfulness, kindness, and worship of the Lord, which are guaranteed for a success. For a successful continuation of quality life. The way to experience God's fullest blessing is first paved by honoring our parents. Brothers and sisters, just as the first commandment of the first part of the Ten Commandments lays the foundation of our relationship with our Heavenly Father, this first commandment of the second part lays the foundation for every earthly relationship in our society. If we cannot honor our parents, we cannot be honorable parents. Therefore, God will reward those who honor their parents and those who are honorable parents. When we consider what our parents have done and paid for us, we will realize that no task, gift, or service can truly repay our parents for what they have paid. But that does not mean we can fail to give them the one thing God says we owe them, honor. Therefore, as obedience to God's word, we both growing teenagers and adults should strive to honor our parents and show them the filial respect God requires. The fifth commandment is the only one that may one day be impossible to keep. I'm certain that some of you here today wish they had an extra day to keep this commandment and honor their mother or father who is not here. Let those of us who still have parents obey, oh God, by honoring them. This is what we owe our parents. And we owe our father and our mother. Amen.